The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I was in the passage last night. Chapter 3. And I want to read verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's why many places, countries, looking for liberty, you can't really have true liberty without the Lord. Religion without the gospel only makes slaves out of men. But we all, everybody say we all.
We all.
Say y'all.
Y'all.
No, y'all.
Y'all.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now this whole week we've been focusing on this whole premise of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters covered the sea, and the fact that God is going to use every single person in this place. Not everybody's called into the ministry, but everybody's called to do something. And everybody's here on the earth for a very specific purpose. I believe it's our job as the church here to make and help you find that purpose. And the way you find that purpose is by being subjected to the anointing and to the Word of God. That's what helps unlock heaven's purpose and plan. Even though life is never set in stone, there's always twists and turns and things in the road, unexpected, yet God takes you through these things and you still accomplish heaven's purpose and plan. But the only way is keeping your eye on Him. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I mean, there are many things that happen to us that we have no answer for. We don't understand. When I held my daughter in my arms and she passed on Christmas Day 17 years ago, you can't really even understand that. But she had suffered for 18 long years. But the Lord said to me, "Do you trust me with your life?" I said, "I trust you," because I was asking some questions, which is fine to ask questions. And then I said, "I trust you with my life." He said, "No, do you trust me with your life?" It was like he wanted to emphasize that. I said, "Yes, I trust you." And then he said, "Do you trust me with your life?" I said, "I trust you." So I found out that there's some things you don't need to understand. You don't need to understand. I mean, obviously, she and the Lord had something going on that I couldn't get in the middle of it. We'd carried her for 18 long years. And there are many people, when circumstances happen to them, they blame God, and they miss their plan and purpose for their life, and they're distracted. It's not just something like a tragedy like that, but even in the case of your assignment, because your assignment is to do with not maybe being directly in the church. You're out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're being bombarded with every, you know, heathen out there with ulterior motives. And the Bible tells us that we have to protect our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Yeah. Are you with me? If we get bitter, There's no way for us to get better. You never see bitter people getting better. Are you with me? So we can't get bitter to get better. We have to let things go. We have to forgive. We have to walk in love. And we have to keep our eyes on Jesus and not be distracted. How many of you are part of the Kingdom Business Fellowship? Wave your hand at me. All right, we're raising up 300 multimillionaires to fund the end time harvest. Wave. All those that are part of that, wave your hand at me. If you've been here any length of time, you know that I preach this message with huge warnings attached to it. The reason why it fails, because they don't preach any warnings. People just get a message, they get excited, they get blessed, they run off, and then they lose their way. We put huge warning label on this. Because God forbid that we should help you find that assignment and you go out and you make millions and then you forget God and end up going to lost eternity. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Then what kind of a pastor am I to you? If you do not attach what you do to eternity, I don't care who you are. If you're a politician and you don't attach what you do to eternity, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist and you don't attach what you do to eternity, if you're a businessman, businesswoman, if you don't attach what you do to eternity, you'll lose your way through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It will come to everyone. Even Jesus, the devil came to him and took him to a high mountain and said, I'll give you all of this if you will worship me. Now somebody said, well, the devil wouldn't come to me and whatever. Well, he doesn't actually come as the devil. If he showed up with a pitchfork and two horns, you'd go, hey, excuse me, out. So he doesn't come like that. He comes through something that looks like this is God. He always comes as an angel of light. It always sounds right, especially when you believe in God for your breakthrough. And then this seems like it is, but it's actually not. It's an apple. It's beautiful, but there's a worm right in the middle of it. Are you with me? And so even when things come at you, you have to look at it. You have to look at this. This is either one of the greatest blessings of my life or this is the biggest trap of my life. Are you with me? Now, when everything's not attached to eternity, what happens is we end up living in two worlds. I see many people in the church world, there's two worlds. There's what you see them on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're living basically in hell, or they basically in a survival mode. And you see them month after month after month, and they just hanging on, how you doing? I'm just hanging on, Pastor, just pray for me. They're always in trouble. Always. The devil's always attacking them. It really looks like the devil plays with them like a cat plays with a mouse. And then you could just think, well, that's just terrible. I said the devil just attacks them all the time. And yet, I remember when we started out, when I started in the ministry, and then, of course, when I met Donica, I had nothing, you know, and we were always battling financially. We were always struggling, and she had the car. I had a suitcase and a guitar. I didn't even have a vehicle. And I was always moaning. I'd say, what if I had, I could do more, you know? And then I'd get upset with other preachers. I'd say, well, look at them, they have, it's not fair. And then when you do that, you're always comparing yourself with somebody else. How can they get blessed? No, I'm not blessed. I'm here struggling. It's not fair. And before long, you're just in some sorry story about yourself. It's so sad how badly done you are. And then what happens is you start to remember everything that anybody's done to you. So the moment you sit down and people start questioning, what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you, I'd be a whole lot further if it hadn't been for him. I'll tell you, he did this to me and hold it with my black book. Let me see. Yeah. On the 17th day of the month of August at 3:35 in the afternoon, they stole my car. And they go on. They remember every calamity. They remember everything that everybody ever did to them. And it just gets worse. At least the people in the world, they don't serve God. They're just high most of the time, so they don't really remember much. And when they get older, they lose their mind, so they don't know anything. They're just like... The great Ronald Reagan. In his latter life, he didn't even know who he was. You know, they had a Secret Service. He would rake the leaves, and they would go behind him and put more leaves out. And he would rake the leaves, and they would, because he didn't, you know. And he would look at a picture of the White House, and he'd say, "That looks familiar." But he didn't remember anything. So why? Somebody said, "Well, great, that's a great encouragement." No, what I'm trying to tell you, if all you are doing is to remember the natural, to travel the world and see things, to create memories, we're not here to create memories. We're here to create eternity. Come on. We're here to create eternity. It's not all about the now, it's about the hereafter. You are actually in a preliminary right now. You're in, this is would be called kindergarten. You're studying. You're going to graduate from here when you breathe out your last breath. And then you're going to be on the other side. And what will you have to show for your life when you get to the other side? What are you going to have to show? So each of us have to take stock of our own life. We have to. In ministry, I hear people, I'd be a whole lot further in ministry if it wasn't for this person. Are you telling me that there are people that can stop your ministry? Are you kidding me? If God's called you and anointed you, no one can stop you. And God will move you where he asks for you. The same with business. Somebody said, "Well, they cut me off here and cut me off." It doesn't matter. The world's a big place, 7.5 billion people on it. There's a business that can go global waiting for you. All right, just three people will go global, that's fine. When you realize that no man is responsible for your success or your failure, and the devil does not control your destiny. Yeah, he doesn't. He can't control your destiny. God controls your destiny. And God's plans for you are greater than any plan that any man could ever have, and surely greater than the enemy's plan for your life. So it's our job to find his plan, his purpose. Seek and you'll find. Finders are people that we're seeking. Knock, and it will be opened to you.
Yes.
You have to knock. Somebody said, "I've knocked." Don't worry, it's the wrong door. Knock, it will open. It will open. The right one will open, and you'll walk through at the right time, at the appointed time. Ask, and it will be given to you. The ones that knock get the door open. The ones that ask receive what they ask for. The ones that seek, they find. Not the ones that just sit. If you notice, those are all actions. Seeking is an action. What are you looking for? I'll know when I get it. Knock. Ask him. Ask him. any person in this place can seek. And I meet people all the time, they're looking for nothing. They're not looking for anything. What are you looking for? Nothing. What are you expecting? Nothing. Well, guess what? You're going to get it. And you should never be unhappy. Someone said, what do you have? Nothing. Well, that's what you've been seeking, so you should be happy. You got nothing. Somebody said, I'll tell you, no open doors have ever been for me. But have you ever knocked? No, I didn't. Staring at a door, you got to visit somebody standing outside for half an hour, and they come out, what are you doing? Well, I've been just standing here. Yeah, but you didn't knock. Well, we were just standing, we needed to knock. Isn't that right? Again, this brings us right back to the song we were singing, because, you know, God, go ahead and move. No, God's waiting for every single one of you to move. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the voice of a stranger that will not follow. Amen. So you have to decipher between the other voices and the voice of the Good Shepherd. Yes. And you have to learn to recognize. That's wrong voice over there. Don't listen to that. There'll be this voice say, come over here, do this. And you think it's all great. Especially if money's involved. Hello? The reason I issue these cautions, because we want to help everybody get blessed and find your destiny, but I don't want to help you find your destiny outside of the purpose and plan of God. There's some people that God could not bless because they would forget him. They would forget him. I met a traveling ministry that was struggling financially, and he got involved in a business and started making a lot of money. So he went around to churches and signed them up to make a lot of money. Every pastor that he signed up that made a lot of money quit the ministry because he helped them get blessed outside of the purpose and plan of God. What does that tell me? If it was just money, it'll take you away from your purpose. Yeah, yeah. But you have to go back to why did you even come into the ministry? Are you with me? That's why I'm so careful about it. I don't want anybody to be sidetracked. Even you students that are studying here, you came here to study for the ministry. Don't get distracted from what God has called you to do. Finish the course, get the mind of God. If you're going to do business here, make some money, that's fine. But do not get distracted to where you don't finish because suddenly now you're making so much money. Then it would be better that you didn't make anything and you just struggled here and you had to eat out of the food ministry. I'd rather you be dependent on the food ministry for 3 years till you find the plan of God. Then you suddenly get blessed. Well, I'm quitting. I know I've only done 3 terms, but, you know, I'm making so much money now. Lord have mercy, I ain't going to go in there and sit in class, sit and listen to the bell. My God, I'm called to do great things for God. Yeah, you are, but you're not even finished your training. We've had students come here and study for 6 months, and then they met some church in Brandon that was running in a garage. And the guy said, come, you can be co-pastor. And the next thing I know, after 8 months, they're apostle. They're in a garage in Brandon, and they're apostle. How? That was the quickest transformation I ever saw. They come here, and they go from 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. They are now apostle with 3 people in a garage, 2 dogs, and a stray cat. Now, I'm an apostle. Well, that was quick. Why don't we just put one of those, we call it an apostle scanner, and you just walk through. You come to here just like nothing, and you walk through. Come on. It doesn't work like that. It takes a very steady hand to hold a full cup. You know, when they fill the cup to the top, I mean, you have to carry it, and if you're not steady, it spills all over the place. And the same way, somebody said, I want my cup to be full. Just keep it at quarter right now, and you'll be able to walk easy. Because right now your hand is a little too shaky and you think you can handle it. You can't handle it. You're asking God, say, Lord, give me the grace to handle what I have right now. And then as you feel that I can handle more, as I'm faithful with a little, then add some more to me. I don't want to have too much added that I forget you, I don't serve you, and I'm, you know. Well, Pastor, you know, we came to the church, we were struggling, and then the Lord blessed us, and we plugged in the kingdom and business, and the Lord began to bless up, and the business has exploded, and we just so busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We even working Saturdays now. So the wife and I decide we're going to just take Sundays off. We have a yacht now, and we just go cruising the intercoastal. Fine. Somebody said, well, you just want the people in church. No, it's not that. It's just when you had nothing, you were in church. You were serving God. You were pressing in. Now you have all these things. Now you're too busy for God. Somebody said, boy, we're ending the camp meeting on this note. No, we ended tonight. I'm talking to the church here. I'm talking to the church family. I'm the pastor here. God's going to hold me responsible if I don't share these things. Because blessing, or let me say material things, or money, is really the anointing of the flesh. Many times people get, and then they don't want to listen to anybody. You know, I'm a multimillionaire. You know, I'm a self-made man. And you can't talk to them. Well, don't you know who I am? Yeah, you're a jackass. That's who you are, just a plain jackass. When they had nothing, you could talk to them. You could discuss some things, but suddenly the money gave them a degree. The money gave them this degree. Remember this, we are not owners of anything. We are stewards of it. There is nothing we can take with us other than what we deposit in the kingdom and the souls that we bring that are eternal. The rest will stay behind. Even your degrees, even your certificates. Are you with me? Even your trophies. 100 years from now, you're not going to be in your mansion in heaven. Oh, there's this trophy. I won that tournament. Remember that one? This is that trophy. Remember? I took the 100-meter backstroke record. Remember that? Remember that? I did the cross country. Wow, that was just phenomenal. Yeah. And you, hey, the Holy One of God. Remember that? Yeah, that was just phenomenal. 100 years from now, you ain't caring about any Holy One that you had down near on the earth. So you come around people's lives, and it's always about a landmark thing in the natural. The landmark things that we have should be eternal things. Eternal things, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your relationships, your friendships, those are eternal things. Your dog's not even eternal. Someone said, my dog went to heaven. I'm not going to get into it with you. Somebody said, all dogs go to heaven. Again, actual fact, read the book of Revelation. It says, outside the city, they're dogs. But anyway, that's referring to something else. We understand that. But what I'm trying to say is people get attached. I tell you, this parrot is such a great parrot. It's going to go to heaven when I get there. There'll be a parrot there. Your parrot ain't going. Sorry. You know, Jesus didn't die for parrots. He died for people. He didn't die for your horse. He didn't die for your poodle. Your noodle. There's people that will sacrifice their life for animals and care nothing about people. They don't care about people. Well, I don't really like people, to be honest with you. I prefer my animals. They never give me a day's problem. They never mouth back at me. There's a reason. They can't talk. It's only Scooby-Doo that talks. The only animals that talk are Disney World. Or Balaam's ass. When he had to rebuke. And if your animal could talk, you probably would shoot it. If your animal could finally say what he really wants to say. So you're good for nothing, bum. You sit here on the couch. You blame me for every passing gas. I had nothing to do with it. You're lazy. You don't get out of bed. You don't work. You scream at the wife. You kick. Anyway, so. And the dog just sits. You think the dog would even say anything? He's not going to say anything. You clothe him. But you feed him. You shelter him. He ain't saying nothing. You do his health care. Your dog's not going to argue. You're providing for him. You're looking after him. And then when you're not looking, he unionizes the cat. Oh, don't give me that. He ain't going to heaven. No, look at this. He's trying to show me this dog. Do you know that he skipped out of camp meetings because he stayed home to look after this? That's what you do when you're old. Hold it, they say owners and their dogs start looking like each other. I see the resemblance there. Becky, I'm so sorry that you have to put up with that. I mean, there are churches in America, they can't get people in attendance, and they tell them, bring your animals and we'll bless them. No, no, I ain't making this up. So people are bringing their pooches and St. Bernards and little toy palms and all the... No, no. And the priest blesses them, you know, sprinkles holy water. Everybody's coming to church. Down by the aisle, there's bowls of kibbles and bits. If you come by, you can have your animals blessed. People bring in their pony. Someone got a pet alligator. You sitting there preaching, they're sitting with this iguana. Somebody brought their pet bullfrog, Jeremiah. Somebody came with their pet seagull. His name is Nelson. You think I'm exaggerating? That's where people are. I'm talking about in the world. Now, I'm not talking about river people, I'm talking about people in the church. I'm talking about people in the world that have no attachment to eternity. They're living in the moment. They're living in the now. What are you going to show me there? Hey, what is this? I'm here in church. Everybody's showing me pictures of their dog. Yeah. It's a French bulldog. He doesn't look too happy. What's he upset about?
It's raining.
It's raining? Yeah. They're crazy, those dogs. They'll start waiting. Have you seen those? They go crazy over anything. He's a French bulldog. Look at that face. Looks like some congregation member. Actual fact, if you brought some of them here, some of them would receive quicker than the owner. I was in a meeting and a lady came for prayer and she had this Cocker Spaniel. And she'd come in the line and I thought, well, maybe, you know, that she's blind and the dog's leading or whatever, you know. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pray for the lady. She said, please pray for the dog. So I bent down and put my hand on the dog. The dog licked my hand and was sweet, you know, and I petted the dog. And I came up to put my hand on the lady and she went, ah! She tried to bite me. The dog licked my hand and the woman tried to bite me. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is the main message today. If you wondered where we were, this is the main message of the morning. Amen. You can read really from verse 1. Take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward reserved for and waiting for you with your Father who's in heaven. So a lot of times people do things just to be seen, but there's no real motive behind it other than being seen. Thus, whenever you give to the poor, do not blow a trumpet before you do. As hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets like to do, that they may be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you give to charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your deeds of charity may be in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. A lot of times people with great wealth give to foundation because they feel guilty. We need to give back. We've been so blessed, and we need to give back. The charity or the foundation only serves as something to ease their conscience. If they could get by without giving, they would do it. And then they structure it in a way that they actually get tax, deduction for all the charitable giving, and it's all devised around how much money they make and what's going to be a tax incentive. Okay, yeah, let's do that. And it's always what benefits them. Where I come from in Africa, you didn't get any tax back or deduction or anything. You just gave. If you gave, that was it. You gave because you wanted to give. So when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the streets, corners of the streets, that they may be seen of people. Truly I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you pray, go into your most private room, and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you in the open. So a lot of times, when you see people be rewarded openly, is because of what they're doing privately.
That's right.
So this is not something we do to be seen a man. This is something that we do because that's what we do, and God rewards us. God is a rewarder. And when you pray, do not heap up phrases or multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over. Dear God, as we gathered here today, we thank thee that thou, thy great love and thy great mercy, Lord. As the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. If you want to hear these kind of prayers, go to Washington, D.C. and listen to people pray. You hear everything I'm talking about here right now. Politicians, nothing more that can pray. And actually, they're not even praying to the Lord. They're pushing a political opinion. You know, for their party or whatever. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Somebody said, well, if he knows what I need before I ask, why do I have to ask? Because he's waiting for you to ask.
Yes.
That's why my children, if they went to my wife and said, we'd like something, you know, and then if my wife ever came to me, that would not be good. I said, you tell the kids to come talk to me. I want to hear from them themselves. Isn't that right? A father wants to hear from his children. What do you want? Well, you should have come to me. Well, I went to mom. Pray therefore like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Stop worrying about your monthly bread or your yearly bread, your daily bread. God will give you your daily bread. And the next day he will give you your daily bread. But some of you are miserable because you're worried about your end of the month bread or your next month bread. Forgive us our debts as we have remitted and let go of the debts and have given up resentment against our debtors. In other words, we release everybody that's wronged us. Can't walk around holding grudges and expect God to bless you. You know, well, I love the Lord, but I tell you what, if I ever see my ex, I'll kill her. I love the Lord so much, if I ever see my ex, I'll just swerve off the road right over there. God help me if I see my mother-in-law. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how many people go through life and they don't have pleasantness in their heart. They actually have a murderous heart. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you've murdered him. So you're actually a murderer. Well, I didn't kill him. Yeah, you're a murderer. You hate your brother. Notice how quiet it gets when you talk about this one. You take a gun out and shoot somebody and you kill them, then you're going to go to prison. But you hate your brother, nobody's going to lock you up. But you still killed them. And lead, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, pray every day that the Lord would deliver you from temptation. How many have ever had temptation come to you? The thing that brought the difference was whether you yielded to it or not. I just saw a clip today of a man who pulled up at a credit union, and there was a case, a box locked that was in the street, and he picked it up and it said $40,000 in it, and he looked and it was $27,000, and he couldn't write off. He went into the credit union and he put it on the desk. He said, look, I found this outside, $27,000, and I wanted to just bring it in here. I don't know who it belongs to, but I'm going to give it here. And so they asked him, the news media said, what do you do? He said, well, he said, first of all, what am I going to do with it? He said, I would take it home. It would bug me the rest of my life that I picked up $27,000. And he said, I didn't think it was worth the problem, really, that the $27,000 was not really worth me being bugged every night before I go to sleep, that I had $27,000 that actually didn't belong to me. And then they gave him a reward, which I didn't know what the reward. But even if they gave him $200, $300, $400, it doesn't matter. It's still a reward. The other night, my wife was late coming home, just late. Now, I called her and I said, "Baby, what's wrong?" She was weeping on the phone. I said, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" She said, "I went to the dressing room, one of the stores," and she said, "I couldn't get the blouse over my arm." And she said, "The watch that you gave me 20 years ago." She said, "I put it down, and then I put it on and checked, and then I went out, and she came back, the watch was gone. Somebody took the watch." And I said, "Don't worry, I'll get you another." She said, "But that's the watch you gave me, you know." So I said, "Baby, don't worry, you're okay, you know." And she said, "I can't believe that somebody would just take the watch, you know, and just whatever." So I replaced it already. I found an identical one, and I already presented it to my wife. So it was 20 years old. I already did. I went. We researched for it. But so people, and she had actually put some earrings down. They left the earrings, but took the watch. And there's a lot of videos on YouTube that people actually do stuff to test people, and then you can watch their reactions. This one returns it, this one helps, this one doesn't, this one keeps it. Do you want to know the number one thing stolen from churches? How many want to know what the number one thing stolen from churches? Bibles. Which that's like beyond me. How do you even read it after you stole it? Hold up your Bible. Say this. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. I stole it. Is this important that we talk along these lines? I know this is not like a rah-rah hashtag message in the sense of, you understand what I'm talking about, but this is important because these things will either hold you in captivity or you'll be released into what God has for you. What God has for you is greater than somebody giving you $1,000 a month or a box that had $27,000 in it. You're worth much more than that. That's not you striking it rich in anybody's sense. All right, carry on reading this. He says here, so pray, lead us not, or bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And what does he say? For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them and letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, let them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you. So a lot of times people want God to forgive them, but they won't forgive anybody else. Lord, please forgive me But I tell you, you, I ain't forgiven you. That's not how this thing works. It doesn't work that way. Somebody said, but you don't know what they've done. It does not matter what they've done. You have to release those people. Because all you do is keep yourself a prisoner. Hating somebody, they say, is like drinking poison and hoping they die. And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy. I see people, how you doing? I'm on a 40-day fast. Look, just go ahead and eat, bro. Seriously. Don't look gloomy or sour and dreary like the hypocrites, for they put on their formal, or they put on a dismal countenance, that their fasting may be apparent to all and be seen by all. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put perfume on your head, which, you know, actually never put perfume on my head, but put perfume on your head and wash your face. Go wash your face. Wash your face. Put cologne, put perfume on. Amen. So that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by the Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you and openly. And, you know, so I mean, I'm for everybody fasting and stuff like that, but sometimes you should fast and nobody should know that you're fasting. I think sometimes all these declared fasts, you know, some people are just on a starvation diet. They don't want anybody to know. They're actually going home and eating quietly on the side. I've seen people go on a 40-day fast, actually put on weight. Or they're on a Daniel fast and you look at the recipe, you go, Daniel never had it that good. I think if I ate a Daniel fast, I'd be 40 pounds heavier at the end of the Daniel fast. Pasta and I don't know what all. I think people got Daniel fast recipe books. Hey Daniel, look what we found. I just said, the word says he ate no pleasant bread. So if anything's pleasant to you, if you're fasting, it's not part of the Daniel fast. So if you're fasting, you go, yum, yum, this is great. You are not fasting. Are you with me?
Absolutely.
I'm fasting, but don't worry, you won't believe what I'm eating. Then he goes on to say, but do not gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, where the thieves break through and steal, but gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, where thieves don't break through and steal, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And I want to ask you that question here. If your treasure is on the earth, if something happened to the treasure, let's say a hurricane blew, you lost your toupee, you know, not kidding, but you know what it's like. There's a mayor in another county wearing your hairpiece. You lost the house, you lost, you know, everything. That's why you listen to country and western music, it's all sad. You lost the pickup, lost the house, lost the dog, lost the wife, you know. If you play the music backwards, you get your house back, your car back, your wife back, and everything. That's why you have to be drunk listening to it, because you could listen to it normally. People standing around the bar and crying their eyes out. I mean, how many realize country and western music are very depressing? I mean, this is of the utmost importance, what I'm telling you right now. Should I walk in the lobby and see what's going on out there? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. I mean, you actually have to unhook yourself from whatever you possess. Like even, like I said to my wife, she says, well, you gave that watch to me. I said, I'll give you other watches. Yeah, but you gave it to me 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. I don't want her hold on to. I don't want her holding on to something I gave her 20 years ago. Come on. I'll give you something new. So we shouldn't even hang on to something. Obviously, I mean, you hang on to it, but you shouldn't be holding because it has sentimental value. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look what he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. What does that mean? Singleness of purpose. Focus. Focus. If your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in your conscience is darkened, how dense is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. If you start down this road, you're going to have a battle of your lifetime. You'll be serving the Lord on a Sunday and then serving the devil on a Monday. And then trying to get back to God by Sunday. And that's why people skip out of church, because they just come in, they feel convicted. Well, I'm not going to come there. Pastor's going to talk about eternity again. I know what he's going to do. He's going to talk about souls, and he's going to challenge me. So I'm going to go down the road to one of these seeker churches. They don't talk about any of this stuff, and then I'll go to church, and I won't feel anything. Let me go to a church that's comfortable for me, because I'm already starting to walk away from the Lord, and I'm going to go to a place where they're not going to challenge my life that I need to, hey, come back. You're walking away. Come on, get back on track. Get back online. Get your heart right. Come on. And I just don't need to hear that today. I'm going to go down to the first church at the Frigidaire, and I'll go there. They'll make me feel comfortable, and we'll do a couple of hashtags, a few posts, and it'll just be wonderful. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we need to be challenged. Listen, I challenge myself. You think I'm challenging you that I don't challenge myself? I preach to me. I challenge myself. We challenge each other. She challenges me, and I challenge her. You want to be when we challenging each other according to the Word? It's like two sermons at one time happening, and it can happen at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't know what's going to happen. And you can't argue. It's the Word of God, so it's pointless arguing. And you don't, I don't care how spiritual you are. You don't grow past that. You don't grow past that. I don't care how. Well, I've been in the way for 40 years. Yeah, you have. Been in the way. Blocked the whole way up. Nobody else can come through. And you can't say, I know that. And most people are told, I know that, Pastor. I know that. But, there you go again, that big but of yours. The moment people tell me they know that, then I know they don't know anything.
Yeah.
I had a minister this last week. He mentioned two great men of God have gone on to be with the Lord. He said, now that man and that man. He said, I've studied all that stuff. He said, I know all that stuff. I'm actually further than them. And when I heard that, there was a flag for me. I go, okay, brother, you lost me now. You were doing great until you told me that. The moment you mentioned that, sorry, we have nothing more to talk about. Because I looked at him and I knew he didn't know anything of what they knew. He maybe had some word verbiage, but he didn't have the revelation. There's a weight to this. It's not just repeating a message. There's an experience of that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I guess I need to keep my place. I keep closing the Bible. Got to get back to where I am. So you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one, love the other. You'll either stand by, be devoted to one, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What does the Amplified say? Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. You can't. You're either going to serve the one or the other. Therefore, he goes on to say, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. When I look at Christians, they're always anxious. What's wrong? Take a chill. Give me my pills. I need my pills. Doctor gave this to me to calm me down. Anxious, worried about their life. What are you going to eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What in my body? What are we going to put on? Is not the life greater in quality than food? And the body far above, more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds. The birds of the air, they don't even sow or reap. You don't see birds planting. There's a bunch of birds in the backyard planting seed. How you doing back there? How many know if birds were planting, there'd be other birds eating the seed that they planted, the moment they planted? But they don't reap or gather into barns. You don't see birds coming, flying in, and they've got a whole storage room and they're bringing in, gathering into barns. The Bible says, yeah, your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not much worth than them? Aren't you better than a bird? Who's here is better than a bird? Stop being cheap. Stop being cheap. Somebody will get it next week. That's fine. Bird, sheep, cheap, sheep. Tweet. Keep your sense of humor, guys, please. Very important. Never lose that. If you lose that, you're finished. Who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit or measure to his stature or span of life? How many of you worrying can extend your life another day? You can't. Who of you can make yourself taller? Somebody's worried, I'm really worrying myself taller. I'm a little too short. Why should you be anxious about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. Look at these flowers. You think these flowers were worried about being clothed? Look at them. Look at these flowers. And these are real, by the way. Consider the lilies of the field. Learn thoroughly how they grow. They don't toil or spin. You don't see flowers working. Unless it's a Disney movie. Hey ho, it's off to work we go. And a bunch of roses walking in a pot, you know. Only in Disney will flowers go to work. Only at Disney do animals talk. Flowers don't work, birds don't work. God looks after the flowers, clothes them, and he looks after the birds, and clothes them and feeds them. And you better than a flower. You're better than a bird. He says, even Solomon in all his significance, magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, green, and tomorrow is tossed in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek, aim at, strive after first his kingdom. And his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and all these other things will be added to you. In other words, they're going to come on your life. Hallelujah. You want to have to strive for them. They will come on you. They'll be added unto you. They'll come on you and overtake you. Can you say amen? You will be overtaken in the blessing of heaven. And I just prophesy over every single one of you that this week as you purpose to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that the blessing of heaven shall come upon you and overtake you. Can you say amen? That the close out of the month of January will be, this will be the greatest January you ever had. And February will be the greatest February you ever had, because you purpose to put God's kingdom first. And when you put him first, he puts you first. When you take care of God's house, God takes care of your house. So then he says, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Let me close with this. One thing I've learned over the years, 40 years now, when I first started out, I was always worried about everything. I mean, I was always never happy with where I was. I always wanted to be someone else. And you wouldn't have known that, but I knew the battle that I was having on the inside. I was always, you know, well, it's great, but I tell you, and then I wanted to tell about the circumstance. I'm unhappy about this because I really feel there's something big, you know, and it's much better than what I'm doing right now. Well, that's fine, but that's not where you are right now. You have to learn to be content in whatever situation you find yourself. If you don't learn to be content in whatever situation you find yourself, then even when you get to where you're going, you'll feel that you should be in another place. Amen. Yeah. And you spend 10, 15, 20, 30 years still miserable, and then it only gets worse. The older you get, the worse it gets. And it starts to compound. You have to stop, and that's why you have to be thankful for the little things. So I stop. I thank God for every little thing, just like tiny. I mean, what seems insignificant, Lord, thank you for that. People go, you getting happy over that? Seriously. Yes, I'm going to get happy over every little thing. I'm going to stay thankful for every little thing, because I had that caused major trouble in the early part of the ministry. Because I remember last night, you have to listen to what I talked about last night to understand this. I can't help it if you missed last night. It's not my problem. You weren't here. I was here. This is a follow-on message from last night. If you were here last night, you know what I'm talking about. I don't preach one-off messages here. You skip out. And some people have been to the restroom 7 times already. They can help bladder infections and even diarrhea. There's a thing you can get for that. And last time I checked, we weren't playing musical chairs. No, this is important. This is a matter of life and death. So you meet people, they're always miserable, unhappy with where they are. And they can't just stop to thank God for the blessing. Because the blessing they think is not what it should be. Yeah, but it's a whole lot more than it was. You thank him you thank him. Come on. You thank him. You thank him. You praise him. Don't worry about tomorrow. Thank him for the time. He has already protected you. He's already helped you. He's already provided for you. He's already making a way for you. He's already bringing you out. Think back to where you were and where you could have been and where you are now and what he's doing now. And then he's going to take you from glory unto glory unto glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord wants you to know that he's with you. God knew everything. And your wife is with him. And he says, son, I'm with you and I'm with you strong. And you stay focused and you see what I will do. He's with you, strong. Father, you comfort and go where the knife of man cannot go. Give him the same comfort that you gave to me. Jesus' name. Big things for your life and for your ministry. Amen. Now, somebody said, okay, Pastor, all this is wonderful, but how do I even begin to access some of it? By just reaching your hand and turning the dial down here. Just make some adjustments. You know, just how many realize that it's easy to get distracted? Wave your hand at me. Who's ever got distracted about some of the things I'm talking about? Wave your hand at me. Okay. Okay. You make the adjustments. When you go from here today, get a piece of paper, start writing all the things the Lord has done, and then sit around as a family, a husband and wife, start talking about it, and just get up and dance and go, wow. Remember, yep. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget what he's done. And you keep a list of what he's done and keep reciting it. Somebody said people will get bored hearing about all. No, just keep doing it. Just even if you're just going to irritate the devil one more time and stick it up his nostril of what the Lord has done. Great things, mighty things. That God is bringing you forth with a strong and a mighty hand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I charge every single one of you. Every anxiety is broken here today. Every bit of anxiety and worry and concern is broken. At the same time, I stir up that divine irritation on the inside of you to press in, to press through the crowd, to touch the hem of his garment, to lay hold of that which is eternal. For that which is temporal will fade away. That which is temporal will be blown away like a wind. I mean, gone. It's no more. But what is eternal shall remain. And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Whatever is here, we're not owners of. We are stewards of. We don't go looking for it. It comes looking for us. We're not looking for money. Money's looking for us. We're not looking for anything. We are seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Added. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's it. That's the message. My name is Rodney Brown, and I'm sticking to this message. Anything else is a lie from hell. And we're not listening to it. So before we pray, let's do this right now. Let's give you an opportunity to give your tithe and offering. I want the ushers to come hand it out. The offering envelopes, make your checks out at the river. Remember the Lord, his grace, his goodness to you. Where you are right now is not where you're going to stay. Your conditions that surround you right now are not the way they're going to be all the time. Amen.
Amen.
The view around your house will change. Everything will be new. Listen, God takes you on a journey. You can interview many people around here today, and they'll tell you where. Well, you heard the testimony of the living on the street, you know. Third year graduate. And now he's being off the devil, you know. What a transformation. Only at the River Bible Institute can that happen. Amen. If you're watching online, this is your opportunity to sow seed, your tithe, your offering today. There's a drop-down box on revival.com if you're watching on YouTube, on Facebook. And you can go to revival.com, RTN Live. If you're watching there, there's a drop-down box on revival.com. And then also there's, you can use your smartphone to give 77977. Or you can use a snail mail, P.O. Box 292-888 Tampa, Florida 33687. How many needed to hear this today? While you're busy, just say, I'm seeking first. His kingdom and His righteousness. His way of doing and being right. And He promised me that all these things that I need will be added to me. And when He blesses me, I promise you, I'll not forget Him. I'll always keep Him first place. I'm always going to serve Him. I'm not going to be led astray by some dumb thing. I will finish the race. I will run my heavenly race. And on that day, I will hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will be faithful. I'll be faithful. Father, thank you for faithful people. And on that day, they would hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Thank you. Not one here shall miss heaven. Not one person under the sound of my voice will miss heaven. Not one. Now, Lord, if you're going to put an angel and put them in a locked jaw, I don't care. Strap them down on a heavenly gurney and make sure they get to heaven. Do whatever it takes, because we need all of them there. Amen. Not one lost. I would take it personally if I get to heaven and there's whole groups of members of the church didn't make heaven. That's like, what? Thank you. This is more important to me than your comfort sitting in a pew. And it's more important 100 years today from today than you there. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. And the same for you watching by way of television. I know many might never get to come here to the River Tampa Bay Church. We have online members watching around the world. Even if you're watching on the late run, husband and wife, sit down and talk to each other. Say, okay, we've stepped out. We've gone in the wrong direction. Bring yourself back around. Audit yourself. Make the adjustments yourself. And here's the thing. Somebody said, but what if I've already blown it? Repent. Cry out to God. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. The way back is repentance. In that one movie of Indiana Jones, the thing said, only the penitent man shall pass. If he didn't humble himself, his head would be chopped off. Only the repentant man, he had to go low. And only when he went low, down low, that thing come right there. If he went up high, his head would be chopped off. I thought, boy, that's a life lesson right there. Only the humble will be able to go through. Only the humble will be able to go through. You can even learn from a stupid movie. Only the humble will be able to go through. The arrogant will lose their head, but the humble will be taken care of. Amen. So just don't be arrogant now because you missed it. And well, bless God, everybody knows I missed it. I'm not responding to anybody. I don't care. Listen, who cares? You're not accountable in the sense of to somebody else that doesn't even know you. That means nothing. You're accountable to God. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. The humble man shall be exalted. The arrogant shall be brought low. Humble yourself. Humble. Lower. We must go lower, 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 lower. Someone said, well, I just pray the Lord will humble me. No, that's not His job. It's not God's job to humble you. If you want to, He can. Nebuchadnezzar, go ask Nebuchadnezzar. He went and ate grass for 7 years. That's a great king, eating grass in a field like a cow. That's not God's plan for you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen.
Amen.
Is this good?
Yes.
Well, it's eternal. It's eternal. It might not be the message everybody lines up to pick up, but recording all, but it's eternal. Amen. Praise God. Ushers, go ahead and receive the offer. Give with a glad heart. Remember, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. If our treasure is only on the earth, when stuff goes wrong, our treasure goes with it. If our treasure is in eternity, if our treasure is in souls, if our treasure is in the harvest, everything, listen to me, everything you have now can be removed from your life. Within 3 years, you'll not only have it back, you'll have it back in a greater capacity, and it'll all be brand new again. Because that's how God works.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want everybody, once the bucket passes you, to close your eyes, if you would, please. Once the bucket passes, you can close your eyes. I ask every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Don't, nobody moving, unless it's very imperative, please. Everything starts with the heart. The Bible says to obey is better than to sacrifice. Repentance comes from the heart. It starts with your mind to change your mind, to say, yes, yes, I'm going to surrender. Then, in order to repent, to truly repent, you have to receive grace to repent. You cannot repent without the grace of God. You say, yes, I will surrender. And then God gives the grace, and you can repent of sin. God's not requiring that you go pay for your sin. He's not requiring that you hang on a cross. He's not requiring that you go get tortured for what you've done. He's already taken that place. But you have to surrender. You can't earn this, nor can you buy it. It's free. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this place this morning, if you're in this room and you've never ever given your life to Jesus, you've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home, put your head on your pillow in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to the devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And today you can go free if you humble yourself and say, Lord, I receive. You might never have another opportunity. This very night, your life could be required of you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe you're in this place and you gave your life to the Lord years ago, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but you got sidetracked. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You got bitter, you got hurt, and you allowed things to come into your heart. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that come and clog the heart of man. Today, God will take it out. He'll take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Surrender to him afresh today and say, Lord, I come to you. He'll come. Your life will never be the same again if you surrender. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see, and the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have transpired. Well, I got news for you. The devil's a liar, and God's a God of a second chance. He's a God of a new beginning, and today is a new day and a new beginning for you. Will you surrender to him? Maybe it's not hidden or outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, shook it to the core. I meet ministers of churches. They say, man, this thing hit me. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to get back. I pray, but it's not the same. I read my Bible, it's not the same. But today the Lord says, come. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And besides that, God's a God of a second chance. He's a God of a new beginning. Will you surrender to him afresh? He loves you, and he stands with arms wide open, and he says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil is always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to know. I want to make sure. I want to know. I want to know. So for those here in this room today or watching by way of television, you don't know Jesus. You've grown cold. There's something hidden or even outward, or a storm came against your life, or you're not sure. If this is you, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, even in your homes, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. Quickly, all across the building, under the overhang right there, right over here in the center section, right over there, 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 all the way to the back. Raise your hand and say, yes, 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 on the far side over here. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. I want everybody to look at me right now. Please look at me. In this section, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now and say, include me. Anybody else? You want to be included? Right at the back. Anyone else? Right over here. Under the overhang. I see your hands. This section here, you want to be included. Quickly. Thank you. Anybody else? Put it up high and say yes. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Raise up high and say yes. What about this section? Yes. God bless you. Thank you. And the brother with the cowboy hat, for the thousandth time I've seen you. He raised his hands every service. I think he brings his horse down, I'm not sure. All right, I want every person that raised your hand to stand. Everyone that raised your hand, stand, we're gonna pray. Stand all across the building, everyone that raised your hand. Today is your day, come on. Stand to your feet right now. I want you to bring your personal belongings and come. We're gonna pray together, come on. Come on, all those that raise your hand, come. We're gonna pray. Today's your day of salvation, come. He's calling you now. He's calling you now. He's calling you now. In your homes, just stand. And as I pray with them, you can pray with us right where you are. If you mean business with God today, God means business with you. This salvation is free. You can't earn it. You cannot buy it. Today he calls you. Will you surrender today? Wherever you're watching, across America, around the world, across the Middle East, you're crying out. You say, Jesus, if you're real, come, show yourself to me. He will come. He will make himself alive. He will show you himself to you. He'll show himself to you. Before me. Everybody here to look at me if you would please. You that are watching in your homes, we're going to pray and pray with them and then pray with you. You pray together with us. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Pray this together with me right now. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you.
Father, I come to you.
In the precious name, of your Son Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Oh, wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. And thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and thank him right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day no one would be missing. I break every curse. I send it back to its place of origin. I break every addiction, every bondage now. And I set you free in Jesus' name. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon every single one of them. And Lord, you will use them in a mighty way. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now look at me if you would, please. Today, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Every single one of you, forgiven. Right now.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.